Blog Talk Radio.
Not they're coming to play every night.
Yeah.
I mean, can't find fault with much that they're doing right now. That's for sure. I mean, you know, the Pittsburgh game, you know, they were looking a little down, and then they got the penalty, which we'll talk about, and they got another penalty. You know, they got another power play. I mean, they had it had to be like 8 minutes of consecutive power play time, and that piece of garbage, Matt Cook. Thanks for that win, buddy. You handed us that one on a silver platter. We'll take it.
And they march into
the Iron City again. I mean, we own that building. We might as well move there. Play our games at the Console Energy. So we own that building. That joint belongs to the Rangers, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, you know, the Rangers had to capitalize on their power play. And I found out today, the Rangers have the 13th ranked power play in the NHL. How is that possible? You think Brian Barrage made a little bit of a difference?
Yeah, Brian McCabe even.
Brian
Barrage has made a difference as well.
Yeah, Brian Barrage's the guy with one eye. Brian McCabe. He's the man.
Well, did you
Brian, I want to make that.
It's the key to the Ranger power play.
Now, I'll always get those guys mixed up for some reason because they both played for the Islanders, right? I think they did.
Yes, they did.
So,
did you see? Somebody posted this stat last night. They must have shown it on MSG, but I didn't see it. The power play was 16% before McCabe got here and 27% since. Can't argue with those numbers.
And I think it's starting to rub off on some of the other defensemen, some of the moves I've been seeing lately. But we'll get to that later. But I got to tell you, can I start with the Montreal game? Because it was a big to-do. I know you got an agenda. Just tell me right off, Jimmy.
You start wherever you want. You are the leader of the show. And I just follow along and throw in what I can. You go. You want me to play the Paulie D ringing the bell thing? Ding, ding. You want me to get you started?
Yeah, get you going. Yeah, I like that.
Well, I don't have that.
Well, Mario, funny, McD is shooting. I was going to get to that, but I want to start with Friday night's game.
Yeah.
Big gathering of Ranger fans at Cafe 31. Well, I got to meet a lot of people, some from the show, some new people. And everybody, Chris Kostopoulos was there, you know, blah, blah, blah. And I could not fathom how many Canadian fans were there Friday night. I had no idea. Now, this also brings me back to, in the old days, I don't think there were tickets available for the visiting team to get that kind of contingent, that kind of throng of fans into Madison Square Garden. But there were so many Hab fans there, so many Canadians. I would say, now listen, this is just an approximate guess and mimication, but I think there was probably about maybe 3,000 of them. It seemed like that many. And they were all in there, and they're Canadian jerseys. It was a sea of red. And I think everybody who watched the game or who was there has to say that that was the most electric atmosphere of the year, that game. The lot on the line, the Rangers have struggled against the Canadians. They hadn't beaten them up to that point. I have to say it was probably the most exciting non-playoff game I've been to in 25 years. It just was the crowd. The bickering between the Canadian fans and the Ranger fans was great. You know, I like that kind of confrontation. The one-upsmanship in the stands makes for a better game. And, the Rangers got out to, a lead. And then was it P.K. Subban who got their first goal? Some guy who had 25 minutes to take a slap shot. He, double clutched. His stick was above his head. I saw Brian Barrage sliding through the ice trying to stop a puck. He looked terrible. He had a bad game defensively in that game. But Rangers get five goals in the first period, and it's just the place is going berserkowitz. I mean, I was getting tired from doing the goal chant. It was too much cardio for me, Jim. And I'm just like, I'm out of wind. And the lady next to me, she's it's her, like first Ranger game ever. She's a Ranger fan, but a casual fan. And I'm telling her, and she's like, this is great. Are they always like this? And I'm like, five goals? Nah, not usually. And we're having a grand old time. And in between the first and second, I go upstairs to the 400s. With those animals up there, and Rock, our good friend Rock from the program, so they say, Rock, I'm worried. It's 5-1 after one. This is uncharted territory. I know they're going to blow it. And he's like, well, yeah, he goes, I'm kind of worried too. Hey, by the way, you want to meet my friend here? He was at the Ranger game when they blew the, in Montreal, when they blew the 5-2 lead. I'm like, why are you introducing me to this guy? He's a jinx. He's a mush. Put him in the bathroom. I don't want to shake hands with him. I'm a very superstitious guy. The guy seemed like a very nice gentleman, but I don't want to shake your hand when we're playing Montreal's 5-1. And, of course, the Rangers let them creep back into the game 5-3. And, these Canadian fans were yelling ridiculous things. I mean, I heard some of the worst, like, I guess jabs you would call them. Right. Somebody yelled, Brandon Prust's sister is a Habs fan. I know this because I'm a friend on Facebook. And I'm like, and that's relevant. Why? Who cares? So I was just like, I was giving it to him. I was, hey, every time, you know, every time the Rangers hit a guy, I was like, oh, call the police. Somebody hit a Canadian. Come on, call the police. Oh, and, the chance of USA, which I thought was stupid, but still, it was getting the Canadians fans higher up. Big game, and they win, and I'd say it, they were disappointed. They were crushed, the Canadian fans. Crushed! I mean, they thought they, and I have to tell you, the Canadians, the Rangers do not match up well against that team. They were lucky to get out of it. They were lucky that Carey Price couldn't stop a beach ball with a boat oar that night. Because, and then he couldn't get to Alex Auld, which annoyed me even more. He's big, he's bald. No, he's bad, he's bald, he's Alex Auld. I mean, going on him. But the fans were just, I got the ball rolling. I got the ball rolling. And I saw him, the aforementioned Margaret Hurley, I saw her there outside after the game. And great game, just a great game, you know. The price was wrong that night. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so big victory on a Friday night. Paulie D from the Paulie D program, I went into the city with him. And he sat with Paul, our friend Paul, and I sat with his friend Lonnie. Lonnie turned out to be a great guy. Actually, I liked him better than Paulie, but no, I'm kidding. But Lonnie was a really nice guy, and it was just a great evening, you know. So it was a fantastic Ranger win, and we're like, okay, now we got to play Pittsburgh, and. And we all know how that turned out. So you go ahead now. I just wanted to talk about that Montreal thing because it was just an exciting game.
Yeah, it was. I got home before I left for work Friday morning. I looked on Center Ice, and they had two feeds listed for the Rangers-Canadians game. One, you know, obviously the Rangers feed and the Canadians feed. So I'm like, all right, I'm just going to TiVo both of them. This way, and then when I come home, you know, I figure out which one's MSG, and I'll watch that one. Well, I come home, and I guess the NHL Network made the decision to take the Rangers-Canadians game and put on the NHL Network and take it off Center Ice. So I get home, and the first thing I do is, I mean, I hadn't even put my stuff down yet. It was like 7 minutes after the game had started. And I turn on my TV, I hit the button for the DVR list, and I go to the first one that says NHL hockey, Rangers and Canadiens. I hit the button to select, and the first thing I hear is Joe Beninati. And I'm like, shit, this is the Capitals game. Like, I go back to the other one. Okay, second one that says NHL hockey, Rangers and Canadiens. I hit that one, and it's, I can't even remember who the Capitals were playing, but it was their feed. And I'm like, what the hell? So then I go to the guide, and I look, and the game's on the NHL Network. And I flip over to it, and as soon as the screen comes up, Anisimov is breaking loose across the boards, down the boards with the puck. So I'm standing, I still got my cup in my hand, I still got my backpack over my shoulder, and I'm screaming at the TV, go, go, go! And he scores the goal, and I start screaming, and real quick I run, I put my stuff down, I fire up my computer, and by the time I sat down, Subban tied the game, and I'm like, oh, of all people. You know, it's always the ones you hate.
He's a punk.
He's
a punk.
Garbage.
Remember with Sauer in that game? Wanted to go with him, and he backed up. To me, he's a punk. Drop the gloves there, brother, because Sauer took off his helmet, was ready to rock, ready to get a little rough and tumble with him. And that punk Subban, that's what PK stands for in my book right now. You know, guy's a talented hockey player, but if you want to slew foot people and you want to, you know, play on the dark side, as they say, then drop the mitts, especially when Sauer.
What he did was Sauer started kind of pushing each other, right? And Sauer, you know, was ready to go. He was ready. And Subban was like, okay, let's go. But then Subban, you know, starts skating away. And as he's skating away, he kind of throws his gloves off. And then he turns around. He's still backing up. And he's like, yo, come on, come on, come on. But he makes sure that he's backing up far enough away that the referees will step in between them. Subban, he didn't want anything to do with Sauer. He was going to get his ass kicked, right? So that set me off. And then I'm on Twitter, and I'm catching up on the game, and I'm on the game thread, and we're going nuts in the game thread because it's 5-1. Twitter's going nuts. And for some reason, I didn't even realize how bad it was. For some reason, I have all these Habs fans following me, right? So I'm talking about the game, and I'm beating about the game, and they're all just jumping off. Oh, congratulations on beating us once this year. You guys aren't going to the playoffs. They are the biggest sore losers in sports.
Oh, I saw it.
I officially said on Twitter the other night, I will never, ever complain about Yankee fans again because Habs fans are far worse when it comes to losing. Far worse.
They're entitled to win every game.
And then when the game was over and I tweeted, screw you, Montreal, get the F, and I just said F, E-F-F, out of our building. And that, oh, what's the matter? You don't like us? Some guy actually posted it on his website as part of his recap. Nice to see they're still so classy in New York. I'm like, screw you, Montreal, screw. I like that city, but screw your fans and screw your teams. Shove your 24 cups up your ass. You haven't won one in, I don't know, what was the last one they won? 93. You haven't won one in 17 years. Doesn't mean anything anymore. Shove your cups up your ass. Get out of my arena. Go back to Montreal and stay the hell out of Madison Square Garden.
They didn't have much to say after the game. During the game, I was hearing they were chanting, make the playoffs. I'm like, hey, listen, Stymie, the last time I checked, we're right behind you in the playoff race. So calm down.
And I got news for you, Montreal, because I know you're listening, all you Habs fans. And Eddie wanted my proclamation, my bold prediction the other night. Maybe this ain't so bold, but here it comes. The Rangers are going to pass you, and we're going to finish sixth, and we'll be the ones taking on Boston in the first round. Just look out, Montreal. Here we come. We're 3 points behind you. We're red hot. And that team, I'm telling you, they're not that good. They're not that good. Montreal is not. They're not that good.
They're like, we didn't have Plekanec. Yeah. I'm like, you didn't have Plekanec. How about the times when we played you? We didn't have half a team. We had the AHL roster up here.
We didn't have Drury.
We had the Whalefare. We didn't have Drury, our captain.
How are we supposed to carry on?
Yeah, and we didn't have Red, too.
We didn't have Roosevelt. We didn't have nothing. We got a skeleton crew, for God's sakes. And that Ole, 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 ole. Fuck you, as Andrew Dice Clay once said.
Well, then the Ranger fans gave it to him at the end by doing their own when the Rangers are up.
Yeah, I heard about that.
They were chanting. I couldn't believe it. Beck PK is like a god there with them. They were chanting his name. And somebody goes, somebody yelled, "I love Scott Gomez." And I go, "I love him too, now that he's on your team and we got Ryan McDonough and Pavel Valentenko, plus with the money, we got Gabby." Who, by the way, Gabby is back.
I think so. Looks like
and
it.
Brandon, oh, yes, I know. But that was in the Calgary deal, wasn't it? I mean, so, yes. So, I just don't understand why people are why would you yell that? Because, you know, because everybody hates Scott Gomez at the Garden, so this guy's going to yell that. Didn't they want Scott Gomez out of Montreal like 2 months ago?
Yeah.
They got sick and tired of his, so it's ridiculous. Well, believe me. Jane,
screw
Dad,
them.
I can get,
screw their fans.
Jim, how fast can I get a dig out the yelling real fast? It comes out coherent and fast.
He's got one. He's sharp as a tack.
That's right. I'm a laser-guided missile. Boom.
That's right.
But it didn't get too crazy because, I mean, I didn't like their fans, but, you know, I don't really have a history with Montreal like I have with the other teams, you know?
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Screw their fans. Screw the fans. Screw that. The hell with them.
Yeah.
They're on my crap list. Captain, there are Blue Shirt Banner shirts. There's a Blue Shirt Banner store. If you just Google Blue Shirt Banner store, and the link will come up. So there.
Margaret Hurley. Margaret Hurley wrote to my brother Miss Bowles at the strip club. That actually was John Newman. Sorry.
Jeez.
There was a lot of French freaks there. Margaret's right. But anyway, what a game, and they were. They weren't very jubilant afterwards. And, you know, so the Ranger fans are going to give it to you. You deservedly so. You know? Started with that Henrik. And we got to give the three goals. Give it a break. Your goalie, your savior, carry the price is wrong. You got chased. You know? So, anywho, I'm just glad. I'm still excited about that. And then the Pittsburgh game. And, you know, I started to talk about it before. I don't know. Did you want to talk about the whole Matt Cook thing?
Yeah, I figured we could get into that. Now, all of a sudden, hold on. They're telling me I'm breaking up. Let me, hold on. Let me shut off the video. We'll do that first. We'll just check. Let me check my bandwidth here for a second. Make sure I'm not draining.
You check your bandwidth, huh?
Well, I'm just looking to see if I have any programs open. I'm just looking to see if I have any programs open that could be further draining. Nice. We can talk about the Pittsburgh thing. I just want to finish my so Friday night was the first time I pissed off Twitter because I had all these Habs fans going back and forth with me. Oh, you're not very classy, and good luck you not making the playoffs, and congratulations, you beat us once out of five times this year. So anyway, that was the first time I pissed off Twitter. Last night was the second time I pissed off Twitter. And this is going to be my only complaint about the last week, since the last time we were all together. Last night, in between periods, Mike Keenan, let's talk about 1994. Stefan Matteau, let's talk about 1994. And was Mike Keenan drunk last night?
I T-voted, so I skipped all to that nonsense.
Oh. Yeah, Keenan was with Troutwig in between periods, Statler and Waldorf. What was it like? Where does the Stefan Matteau goal rank in your all-time greatest games? And Keenan slurring his words. Well, it was great. You know, I thought it was Dave Maloney or something for a minute there. But and then they interviewed Matteau, and then they showed a goal. And I posted on Twitter. I said, "Does it this team, this organization, ever get tired of celebrating 1994? Oh, people rode down on me like I just went and pissed on the logo. What do you mean? It was the greatest night of my life. I'm like, well, it was one of the greatest nights of mine, too, but it's 17 years ago. You can't celebrate one championship. You can't do it for 17 years. It's over. It was over. It's enough. I've heard it. I know.
But, you know, they haven't heard the program. They don't know how we stand about this. That we, most Ranger fans feel like 1994 is MSG's. They constantly go to it. Is it in times of woe, even when they're not losing, they go to it. They're obsessed with it. The only people they hire are affiliated with 1994. That's why you got Brian Leach on there. That's why you got Mark Messier, the assistant, whatever he is. That's why you got Keenan there, who's got nothing interesting to say, by the way, which I find so weird because you think he'd have something interesting to say, and he doesn't. Now, I don't know
what he's
on
for. I mean,
yeah,
He's just – there's just nothing there.
Well, I think that's when you're a part of the MSG crew. That's the drug of choice, you know. Look blank and don't say anything controversial.
And I had somebody tweet me, oh, I guess it didn't last a lifetime for you. But look, nobody – there's no Ranger fan who celebrated 1994 more than me. I was right there. I've told the stories. We drove to Washington to go to playoff games. I skipped, called out sick from work so I could go to the parade, even though my boss knew I was going. I mean, I was there. I bought the T-shirts. I still have my hats. I got all the videos. I got it all. But it's enough. Let's go win another one. I mean, 17 years we're celebrating 1994. And it's like, does Stefan Matteau just sit by the phone and wait for the garden to call? We need you. We're pulling up the video. Can you be here by 8?
Do you think on the Tampa broadcast that they're going back to when they won the Stanley Cup with Tortorella every other day? No. It's move on. Press on. Yes, I'm happy we won. Blah, blah, blah. We don't have to say it. We all know how ecstatic we were.
You ask me what the five greatest nights of my life are, and June 14th, 1994 will always be one of them. Always.
Well,
that's in the top five, and then there's the birth of my children and the day I got married. That's my five in no particular order because I don't want to piss anybody off. Always, it is one of the greatest nights of my life. I cried like a baby. Not going to lie about it. I'm not ashamed to say it. Me and my brothers in a group hug, crying our eyes out when they won
that's kind of gay.
I've had plenty of people admit to me the same thing. Of course, it was very emotional. I was also drunk, but that's another story. But it was 17 years ago, people.
Why are you fighting with these twatters and these Twitters?
Well, Twitters hate me. That's what I said. Twitter hates me. I pissed them off. I pissed them off. John's asking me, which marriage? I'm not going to answer that, John. I had people tweeting me last night. I still can't see the highlights of Messier picking up the cup without crying. I get all that because I was there.
You don't have to convince us. We know. We all here. We all know what it is.
I know. I must be heard.
All right. So what?
This is my. I can only tweet so much. You know. So this is my forum. My pulpit. What did the bully pulpit? Is that what Roosevelt used to call it?
Yeah, the
Eva's
bully pulpit.
Eva's buying right now. Newman.
Eva's actually crying right now.
It's just because the show is so.
Well, what's going on? And I want to get to just go on a tangent. You know, because a lot of these friends were friends with people. Eva was talking about Daisy Dukes today, and I'm like, what is this? What is going on here?
She said something about she's coming to the viewing party on Saturday in a bikini top and Daisy Dukes.
There's no
And all I know is 30 or 40, there were 30 or 40 more confirmed attending after she posted that.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
Because all these guys are just so like, ooh, they probably jerked off of the post.
Oh,
I mean, really? Oh, sorry, but
Only bad part was that she says she's going to show up in a bikini top and Daisy Dukes, which means I have to change my outfit or we're going to look silly.
Yes, because we were kind of thinking about wearing the same.
Right.
Which would stop any man's erection immediately.
Instant softy.
Yeah. So anyway, let's get that imagery out of our minds and get to this Pittsburgh game and this despicable, this lowlife, this turd, this subhuman Matt Cook takes a shot at the young Ryan McDonagh, an elbow right in the kisser, and I did not think that he would get that many games for that. What did you think? Did you think that, first of all, does anybody here think it wasn't warranted, the amount that he got? Does anybody in the chat room or listening at home, dial us in if you're listening to this on podcast, even though not on, just to give us your opinion on.
Just call Eddie at his house and let him know what you think.
Yeah, give me a call. Or call him anytime, I'll answer.
Call Paulie.
I mean, the guy got, you know, what are you, 10 games plus 7?
10 plus, yeah, well, anywhere from 14 to 17, right? Or 13 to 17, I guess.
And I thought
it was fair. I thought it was reasonable. I thought he'd get the regular season, which I would have thought was fair, too. If he'd have gotten just the rest of the regular season, yeah, I would have been okay with that. I was just glad. Yeah. I was glad that the NHL didn't really take into account, or at least to me, it didn't seem like they did, that McDonagh wasn't injured. You know, I thought they might have came back with, well, we only gave him 3 games because there was no injury on the play. And then, I mean, there would have just been, Ranger fans would have just went nuts. Because it would have just been the same old garbage where Pittsburgh gets away with, you know, everything. I thought it was fair.
Well, now it's changed now. Because I think it's changed because Cindy's out with his concussion. And, you know, Mario and his, you know, was wah-wah, and I'm going to take my toys home if this is an improvement. Now they've got no excuse. Now it's, you know, they're not getting away with anything as far as that's concerned. Plus, this guy is a repeat offender. And I don't know what goes through this guy's dome that he still, I mean, you know how they say you've been responsible for your stick? This guy's not responsible with his elbows or... You know, he has to do that. I mean, you got to be a little bit mental in your head when you know it's going to be an embarrassment to your owner, you know, there in Mario, who's come out publicly and said he doesn't want this stuff and had taken a little bit of heat because he employs one of the highest penalty minute teams and also one of the biggest headhunters, or the biggest headhunter in the game today, probably. And then he goes, does this in a nothing. No reason to do it. It was no reason to hit McDonagh like that. It's not like McDonagh is a weaselly player or a guy that got him previous. You know, he's just a dumbass. And that's all I could say. I mean, and now he's in hot water with Pittsburgh because he may not be there.
Yeah.
You know? And... You know, and there was only, and you know, listen, I don't want to talk ill of the of Ranger alumni, but Ron Greshner, I don't know, maybe he didn't think it out before he posted on Facebook, but he's like, if this is what hockey's is going to turn into, then I'm not going to watch it. And I'm like, do you understand it was Matt Cook, the running storyline with this moron, Matt Cook? This had to be done, and, you know, I don't think the severity will be done with guys who don't have repeat, you know, but if you're a repeat offender, it sends a message. You are going to miss time, and you're going to miss that $220,000 that he's going to miss, you know, and that really hurts them, is the cash.
Right. Cashish.
You know, cashish speaks, you know, louder than words. You know, with people, especially with guys making millions of dollars, you take $220,000 away from them. That's a lot. So I thought it was appropriate. And I got to say, that game in itself was was a tough one because it was 1-1 going into the third. And then that, oh, I got to tell you how mad I was when Chris Kunitz got that shorthanded goal.
Oh,
my God. I banged the floor. I was all upset. I was like, I can't believe Chris freaking Kunitz. Now, I know the guy's got 20-odd goals, but still, it just drives me nuts giving up shorthanded goals. I know we've gotten a lot this year, and after that, it was all Rangers. Rangers took control, you know, after the Cook hit. You know, well, actually, that wasn't the Cook hit. They got the shorthanded goal. That's what pissed me off even more, was because here Cook does something stupid, and they still get rewarded for it. And, you know, that's what annoyed me. But after that, Gabby got us back with a power play goal. And, you know, then it was, you know, Dubinsky and Callahan really, that line has really taken off with Artie. And, you know, Callahan getting the goal and Dubinsky getting the empty netter. And just an all-around good game. I mean, Cali is leading the way, man. This guy is, he's Captain Callahan as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, I didn't think Fleury looked all that great in that game. And Henrik, you know, he faced 40 shots, only gave up 2. So I think it was a solid win. And I thought that the Rangers, I think Pittsburgh is starting to think this team really gives us fits at home. The Ranger team is not a fun team to play. They're not such a walkover like they used to be. Now, I know Pittsburgh is missing Malkin and Crosby and a couple other guys, but still, the Rangers have to work for everything that they get. The Rangers do not, you know, there's those odd games where the other team gives them the puck and, you know, they go off and get 7 goals, you know. But those are really not the norm. The Rangers must come to work every night. And I have to say, even in their losses, where pucks were bouncing off defensemen going in, that there's only been about 4 games this year, 3 or 4 games, I could say that they did not come to play. And I don't think, as Ranger fans, and I think the people at home will agree, there hasn't been too many seasons like that. The Rangers are maybe the hardest working team in NHL. They really are. They're the hardest working team in show business. They really come to play every night. And it starts with the defense. I don't think Michael Sauer's taking a night off. I don't think Ryan McDonough, since he's been here, has taken a night off. They have played fantastic. In the last 2 games, they played without Mark Stahl, and they still won.
Yeah.
So they're showing a resiliency that we haven't seen. Now, you know, whether they make the playoffs, I think they're going to make it. But I think as a Ranger fan, and we said this earlier, you have to be proud at least at the effort, even though the results aren't always there.
Absolutely. You know, you mentioned Sauer. You know what I really like about Sauer? Is that when he's on the ice, he makes it part of his personal business to make sure that Lundqvist is protected. He really takes it to heart that when he's on the ice, he's there to protect Henrik.
Right. Look at last night. There was a Florida guy who snowed Henrik. Sauer was right there. None of that. And that's what you're supposed to do. And I believe the guy, Valentenko, when he comes up, from what I saw in preseason, is the same type of guy. No nonsense in front of that goalie. And I can't wait to get Matt Gilroy out of here.
Oh, you've had enough? Hi, I'm Matt Gilroy.
Hi, I'm Matt Gilroy.
Hi, I'm Matt Gilroy. I'm Matt Gilroy.
I cannot. Him and Berard scare me when they're out there. You know,
Berard?
I don't know what. Berard, I'm sorry, McCabe. Do it again.
Now I thought you were doing it as a joke. I thought that was going to be McCabe's new nickname or something.
No. The guy with two eyes. Let's put it that way. When McCabe and Gilroy out there, I'm scared to death. It's just this mental block of Barad is going to haunt me forever. But it's like Dave Copper and Sanders Oldsmish being paired together. Because Matt Gilroy, he's terrible defensively. He's bad. And he gets knocked off the puck. And again, offensively, he does nothing. Now, if you want to talk about last night's game, we can talk about that. You run the ship right now. I'm actually going to write down McCabe's name in big giant marker letters in front of me so I can.
What's the fun in that if you start calling him McCabe?
Oh. That's a senior moment. I have several senior moments.
All right. How about we go to the phones? We've gone long into here. We usually don't go this long without going to the phones. Are you ready to go to the phones?
Yeah, let's go. Let's see what they got to say.
All right. I'm going to bring Newman. What's going on, buddy?
Good pace to the show tonight, fellas.
There's always a good pace to the show. Tremendous pace, Joe. Tremendous.
Tremendous pace, John.
I call that, I now refer to that as talking in the fourth person. When I'll make a reference as Joe or as Sam and then reply as Joe or as Sam, that's now called talking in the fourth person.
Exactly.
I invented that. I made that
exactly.
up.
Exactly. I know.
So what's going on, Newman?
Last night's game was great.
Last night's game was root canal, but it had a good ending. It was like having a root canal, but you get a lollipop when it's over.
Exactly.
Or better yet, you get a Vicodin prescription when it's over.
Did anybody notice? Nobody mentioned this. Dave Maloney's growing a playoff goatee.
Oh, he is?
Good for him.
It looks terrible. It looks terrible on him.
Oh, it looks bad?
Yes, it does. It really does.
The chin strap like I have.
No, it's worse than that, Eddie.
You mean it's worse than mine? It's got to be bad,
it's pure, then. It's pure white. It goes around. It's pure white. It looks like he's got frosting from a donut that Marty Brodeur gave him.
About a donut action. Now, John, I know this is your time, but can I rant just for a second?
I would love it. Please rant.
Let me tell you something, folks. They pay announcers big bucks. Well, maybe not an MSG, but they pay announcers big bucks. Did you hear when that idiot Sam Rosen said, "It's a goal. It's in." And then I see the referee waving it off, and he's like, "Florida's tied it." I'm like, "No, he hasn't, Toucan, because the goal light ain't on, and the referee is waving it off." This moron has given me a heart attack over here because I think it's in the net at first, and this guy, I swear to God, I want to rip his toupee off his head and shove it down his nostrils.
Well, that was.
Did you get annoyed by that? Was it me or not?
I think. Yeah, he does that. That's the second time he's done that.
There was like 5 minutes left in the game. I thought, oh my, or a minute. I swear to God, what is wrong with that guy? All right, John, I'm sorry. So, John, you're going to be down at the Blue Shirt Banner viewing party, right?
Yes, I've got your computer for you as well, my friend.
You are a tremendous individual.
Well, you got a drink coming your way as well.
Oh! I love to drink.
I will get you a good drink.
It'll
be the best Kool-Aid you've ever had in your life, my friend.
What about me?
You get chopped liver.
Thanks.
You got to do the show.
You're getting a ride to Edison. You're getting a ride to Edison. That's what you're getting.
It's funny because at the last viewing party, like I felt like Jim did most of the show, and like I just walked around drinking and saying hello to everybody. And I'm planning on doing that again.
That's why we're only doing an hour this time.
I was like, hey, everybody's here. I want to meet everybody. Hey, John. And Jim's like, you know, and
sit your ass down.
Go to the phones.
Chris from the UK. Yeah, I'll take Bud Light. You know? He had Chris from the UK doing the show and said, yeah, so I appreciate that. Hooking me up with the laptop. And, you know, hopefully the Rangers will have a 6-game winning streak going into that.
That's
Boston
right.
afternoon games. They're playing Boston that Saturday afternoon. Now, what were you going to say, John?
I think they're going to go, I think they're going to win out. I think they can go win out.
Going to win out?
I hope. The only game, the only game I'm worried about is the Thrasher game. I hate to say it. The Thrasher game scares me a little.
I don't know.
It might be a trap game, as they say.
I think so. Split with Boston. Got another game against Buffalo coming up. Buffalo's, you know, hanging on.
Flyer game.
Another Flyer game. Yeah, there's some tough games down the stretch.
Yeah. I think we can win out. God, that Thrasher game might be a trap, though. We're going to have three days off.
Well,
I'll tell you what. If they win out, I will sing your praise. I will sing the song of your choice on this on our broadcast when the regular season ends. How's that? How's that for a call?
That's fine.
The song of your choice.
Do you remember what I said at the beginning of the season?
No, I don't. I don't remember what you said 3 minutes ago.
6 points, fourth in the division. We're going to get 100 points, be fourth in the division. We're going to get home. We're going to get home ice in the playoffs.
See, I think you're off the rails now a little bit.
Mark my words. We're winning out. We're going to get 100 points. There's 16 points left. We're getting all eight. We're getting the rest of the eight games.
All right.
I'm drinking the good Kool-Aid. You're drinking it with me.
I'm looking forward to it, John.
All right, John. We'll see you Saturday, buddy.
All right. Drink the good Kool-Aid water for me.
Okay.
All right. Talk to you later.
Remember, take your Prozac. Okay.
And there goes the great John Newman. Speaking of people on Thorazine. All right, let's go to my neck of the woods, the 602 area code. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this? It's either Keith or Nick.
Keith.
It's Keith. I said it had to be either Keith or Nick.
It's got to be one of the two.
What's going on, Keith? Eddie,
Keith
and his lovely wife were here at the house on Sunday watching the game. It was nice. I had a little group, a little morning, 9:30 in the morning. We're sitting here watching hockey.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. Like, that's got to be pretty weird.
Yeah,
it was weird.
It's like
bagels and hockey.
Exactly what we did. Keith brought bagels. We had bagels, and then Nick went and got some beer. We had beer in the little after the second period. Yeah, it was great. It was great. A little, you know, it's a little slow getting up. You know, 9:30 and getting going. But you know, once the game got going, we were okay.
Did you? Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It was weird though.
Yeah.
Did you hand him out any Blue Shirt Banner business cards?
I did not give out business cards. They know where to find me. They know my website. They know where my house is. They know where to find me.
So Keith,
yeah,
was this the first time you met Jim in person?
It was actually the Ottawa game where we met the first viewing party, if you will. But yeah.
Ah. Okay.
And,
all right.
Yeah, it was great, and Nick too, and so far we're good luck as well.
Yeah, that's right. We're 2-0.
We're 2-0.
Eddie, Keith is the guy whose wife is from the same town as my wife in Illinois. We were talking about a couple weeks ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Okay, cool.
Give us your take on. Do you think the Cook punishment was fair? That's the question that he's throwing out there.
You know, I absolutely thought it was fair. It's funny, and I think we were talking about that the other day. Of all the things that criminals done, this is probably the least of all bad, if you will. But it's certainly at this point, I think the message was sent. I was thinking about it today, though. I'm not sure it's really fair that, let's say, Pittsburgh does go on to that next round, that they actually get to use him. But, you know, I guess you can't really be picky at this point.
I think it just gives us another reason to root against Pittsburgh.
That's for sure.
So are you ecstatic, right? Okay, go ahead.
I was gonna ask you, what's your vibe right now? Are you ecstatic about this five game, or are you cautiously optimistic?
I'm kind of both. You know, I mean, we've been waiting for it all year, and it's one of those things where it's so exciting because it's, you know, we've been on edge whether we're gonna make the playoffs, and now things are going so well. I don't want to jinx it, you know, but. And I hate to get nitpicky after a five-game win streak, but now's when you start to really get ready for what's coming. And you know, Hank is playing so well, and they got that Boyle line continuing to what they've been doing all year, and obviously the Callahan Dubé line. But I'm starting to get a little concerned with that Stepp and Zuccarello line. I don't know. I mean, Wolfke continues to pop in and out of the picture, and Zuccarello, I don't know, I think the jury's still out with that. I don't know, I don't really know what to think with that. I don't know what you guys think, but
well, I took a lot of heat from Ranger fans when he went that 18 games without scoring, you know, because I'm supposed to cut him some slack, and you know, he's a rookie and everything. But meanwhile, I've seen guys go into, you know, less of a, you know, a drought, get bashed by Ranger fans, and it seems like the Frodo from Moto seems to get a lot more slack than I think he should get. I mean, he needs to score. Now, I granted, I think the guy is comes to play every night. Defensively, he's not a liability. He works hard, but. I'd like to see more production. I think Stepan, who did score in the Pittsburgh game, his play has dipped a little bit. And I hope that, you know, he gets it going around playoff time. But, yeah, the third line has been disappointing. Getting back to talking about Brian Boyle, I couldn't make such a turnaround on a guy than I did from last year. And I think Tortorella is just as surprised as I am, because they really told him last year, if you continue to play like this, you're not going to be with the big club. And last night he made a nice move. He takes some shots. He takes a lot of shots. A lot of them don't look pretty, but they get on net. And he's just been a total surprise. I finally last night was I'm on the Brian Boyle. This isn't a one-year flash type of thing. Because right now I've been thinking it's just been a career year for him. But now I think this guy might actually be able to get 15 to 20 goals every year. So I think you're right on with your analyzation of the third line.
I was going to say I couldn't agree more with you on Boyle. And it's funny, I mentioned to Jim on Sunday, I said, now that he's learned how to skate, I think maybe this offseason, if someone teaches him how to fight, he could just become an ultimate power forward and maybe take some of that heat off of Prust, and then you don't even need a Bougard, although we're stuck with it.
Yeah, well, you know, what was it Carpinello said when we had him on? He just needs a little bit of a mean streak in him. You know,
right.
if he ever gets that edge to him, which he shows occasionally, but if he ever gets a real edge to his game, I don't even think he needs to fight. If he could just get an edge to him, he's so damn big, he'll be intimidating.
Yeah, if he could be like a Milan Lucic, who I'm not a fan of, but, you know, he's just one of those guys who scares the crap out of people.
Right, exactly. Yeah, and Ryan in the chat room says maybe he could have a face-off coach.
Yeah. I think they all need that.
Yeah. So Boyle, you just think he's such a strong guy that he should be able to win more faceoffs just on his strength. You know, stick your skate in the faceoff dot and just win that, you know, that faceoff, you know, with his strength and his size. You know, so we all know Stepan's got a long way, too, on faceoffs as well. But,
I just want to say, I think that was one of the first things we heard about Brian Boyle when the Rangers traded for him, was that he was a guy that didn't play to his size.
Right.
I think that was one of the knocks
now.
On him. Yeah, we got him skating. He's a gazelle.
It's almost like this season he's all of a sudden realized that he's 6'7", and because he's running into people and they're falling down, and now all of a sudden he's realized the power in his stride and his ability to put pucks on net and they're going in. So it's all of a sudden he's realizing, I think, hopefully, what he's got.
Because when I watch him, like, well, usually he did actually pass, I think, last night on a, on 3-on-1, which I was – because he usually doesn't.
And he passed and he shouldn't have.
Right. And
even stupid Micheletti said, sometimes it's okay to shoot.
Right. Which does lie. And sometimes he takes some of the worst-looking shots I've ever seen, and I say to myself, this is the guy from last year. But then – I guess it's that old adage. You put enough towards the net, they go in. And, you know, he certainly played. He definitely gets a lot of accolades from me. And I know the Ranger fans. I really think, from what I've seen, it's not, hopefully not going to be a one-year flash with him. And Prust, and I don't know what it is about Fedotenko. Whatever magic he's got, the Rangers win when he plays. And I don't know if it's his consistency. He seems to make, again, one of those guys comes to play every night and does his thing. And, in regards to Fedotenko, one of the chatters said, you know, should we bring him back? And I really think they should. I mean, as much as I want to go forward with the youth movement, he certainly earned his way onto the team. He's a contributor out there. I mean, what do you guys feel about that?
I agree with that, and I don't think he's going to be a guy that's going to hit you up for a lot of money either. I think he knows his role, he knows his place, and I think he knows how comfortable Tortorella is with him, and I think that goes a long way for those guys when they realize they don't have, he's going to come back knowing he has a spot in Tortorella's lineup.
Right.
Yeah.
He's one of those guys. Go ahead.
If he'll come back for on another 1 year deal, sure, I'm all for bringing him back.
Absolutely.
And now, I guess my next question is, the Rangers are winning with without Sean Avery. Is apparently Sean Avery, I'm not saying he was the reason for losing, but they can win without him. Is this the phasing out of Sean Avery as we know it?
If it is, I'm ready for it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you mentioned that the other day. You're done, right?
Yeah, it's just, I said it a week ago, 2 weeks ago, whatever it was. I don't see what he brings. They don't miss him. One of these games, I never said, gee, I wish Sean Avery was on the ice in this game. He'll probably play when they play the Flyers or the Devils. But other than that, I don't think they need him at all.
I was going to say, I completely understand where you're coming from, and I don't think you ever really mess with a 5-game winning streak. What's going with you? You go with what works. But I was thinking, gosh, Christensen just drives me insane. He's so soft and he's so talented, but it's like Wolski, they bob in and out. You see him with a puck and they do something amazing and then they disappear. And I just wonder at times, especially with the Gabrick thing. I know they talk about the chemistry with Gabrick and Christensen, but I mean, I got to think at some point having Avery's energy, as long as he's being smart the way he's been most of the year, digging and moving Prostful back to center, has got to bring more energy than having Christensen out there lollygagging.
Yeah, EC is another guy. I can't believe I'm calling you by his initials for Eric Christensen. I'm not, I don't like him too much. There's got to be better out there. He's got 1 year left on his contract. I don't know. I don't know if Gabrick's recent success is more because now Prospel is playing, healthy and he's back and just all that tumultuous kind of reworking the lines had to do when Prospel got back and all the injuries, and now finally they've settled with the lines. Now everything is, it seems like Tortorella, who baffles me because he spends all year jumbling the lines. He can't stand it. And then down the stretch he comes with, I have to find out who my two top three lines are for the playoffs so I can keep them together, which to me is a little bit backwards about going. So now you're right. That third line is a concern. But Christensen, to be fair, and listen, I'm not a big proponent of his. He has scored some goals in recent games. I mean, going back maybe two or three games. It's just he's not consistent, and if when he's not contributing, he's invisible. Like there's nothing else to his game, unless you see him on the scoreboard.
What you just said, I think, is my biggest concern, because you watch that Gabrick, Prostable, Christensen line, and you only have a short window when they're on the ice while Prostable still has a full tank of gas, and you know, because you notice he changes quick. He gets in there, he gives you everything he's got, but they spend a lot of time in their own zone, and then when they do get down there, it seems like they run out of gas because he's doing all the digging. And Christensen's floating around, and he has scored some big goals because the guy's got some serious skills. But when he does pop in and out like that, and he is so inconsistent, I think that line just completely on one. When he is engaged, they're pretty dangerous, obviously. And when he's not, they really don't do much.
Right. I think you make some fair points there for sure. You know, I think even with Volsky. He's another guy that sometimes he looks really good with the puck, and then sometimes he looks weak. Like, I don't know. I can't explain it. You know,
I'll never complain about him.
Well,
I love him.
I still think he's got potential to be a better player, a better Ranger player. With Erik Christensen, I just think he's a head case. He's just, that's what he is. That's all you're ever
going
to get.
Totally agree.
I'm okay with Christensen for now because I'd still rather have him in there than Chris Newberry. So, you know, see what happens in the off season. For right now, I'm okay. I can live with Erik Christensen. He's better than Chris Newberry.
That's for sure. Yeah, I agree.
So, all right, Keith. Listen, thank you for calling in. I got a whole bunch of other calls we're gonna get to, and I'll talk to you and see you soon, buddy.
Absolutely. You guys have fun at that viewing party. Get some pizza while you're on the East Coast, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. Take it easy.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Let's keep the phone calls moving. We got less than an hour to go. We'll get all you guys in, I promise. Next up, holding the longest, Robbie, what's going on, buddy?
Evening, gentlemen. How you guys doing?
Are you going to be there on Saturday?
Yes, I will.
Be the one time I talk to you where you're not in danger of me blowing you up.
That's true. But I do have a few questions about this so-called Molly Wee restaurant.
It's not the so-called Molly Wee. That's really what it's called.
I'm kidding. I know. I'm just being, you know, sarcastic here. Now, what are the prices here for this food and drink?
You ever heard of the internet? Go to their website. Look at the menu. What the hell do I look like? What do you want, the specials?
Yeah, you guys look like that.
Robbie.
Ooh. Yes.
You're gonna be there. You're gonna be there on Saturday.
Yes, I will.
Who's bringing you?
I'm getting dropped off.
Okay, Robbie.
Yes.
We'll see you Saturday. He calls into the show. I got
for the menu.
We got 20 phone calls online. Robbie wants to know the menu. Well, let's see. Tonight, sir, we have the filet mignon with a side of. With a side of peppercorn that I really think you're going to enjoy. Perhaps a Cabernet. Robbie wants to see the wine list. Robbie, it's a bar. They got hamburgers and hot dogs. Maybe peanut butter and jelly and grilled cheese. God, Jesus Christ. Robbie, come on. The only way he could have made that phone call worse was if he talked about the Knicks. All right, who's next? I don't know. Who's next? Let me see. 203-276. You're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Hey, guys. It's Mario.
Hey, Mario.
Hey,
how are you?
Good.
Mario, would you like to hear the selections for the Molly Wee on Saturday?
No, I'm getting the prefix.
Okay.
Hey, listen, as a favor to the official Blue Shirt Banner photographer, can we stop calling Lemieux Mario, please? Call him something else. I can't go
what
on Ranger Board. I can't go on a Rangers board now without trying to figure out what the hell I did wrong.
What would you like us to call him?
Mama Crosby.
Like Mama Celeste.
Mama. Abundanza.
Mama Crosby it is.
Mama Crosby. I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Just getting back to this cook thing. Pittsburgh management thought enough of this guy to put a letter on his sweater And I don't know why they're not getting fined a draft pick or some sort of thing against the organization. It's just ridiculous that they put a captain's letter on this guy.
Yeah,
that's true.
And, you know, there's been some talk, I guess, about going after the coaches and the organizations in these scenarios, but that hasn't happened yet.
When you think enough of a player to put a letter on his sweater, he's representing your city and your franchise. Some other schmuck out there, you know.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's ridiculous that he's considered an alternate captain on that team.
Yeah. Well, you've got to consider what team he's on.
Yeah.
And normally...
A lot of it.
Normally, I'm the first one to rant and rave about Penguins fans because I don't like them either. I don't like a lot of people. But all of the ones that I've seen and come in contact with agree with the suspension, agree with the whole thing. I haven't seen one that said, oh, you know, this is wrong, or, you know, they're just picking on them or whatever. They've all been pretty reasonable for a change.
Yeah, well, there was a lot of video evidence this time, you know.
Yeah.
Unlike the draft lotto.
Yeah. Nice.
All right, I'll see you guys on Saturday, man. Should be fun.
All right, Mario. All right. Looking forward to it, buddy.
Okay, bye.
Take it easy. The great Mario. All right,
no.
Let's see. Yeah.
Don't call him Mario.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's right.
Mama Croce.
We call him Mario. We can't call the owner of the Penguins that. He's Mama Crosby.
Okay, I'm sorry. Hey, my
wait.
Bad.
Or are we supposed to call him Brian Berard? I don't remember.
Ah, how dare you?
How dare you?
Of my maladies. How dare you?
All right, before we get back to the phone calls, since we're kind of in our peak time here, let's just mention, we'll throw it all out there. Saturday morning, 11 a.m., we will be live at the Molly Wee Pub. It is on, it's somewhere in New York City. I'll give you the address. Hold on. It is at 402 8th Avenue in New York. It is between 7th and 8th Avenue on 30th Street is what I am told. We will be there at 11 o'clock. That's when the bar opens. At 11:30, we go live with Blue Shirt Banner, live from New York, Blue Shirt Banner Radio. We'll do an hour show. And then at 1 o'clock, the Rangers are up in Boston to take on the Bruins. We'll all hang out, watch the game, drink a lot, and it'll be a great time. So looking forward to seeing you guys there, and come hang out. And Frosty, yeah, they have buffalo wings. I'm sure. If you want the menu, ask Robbie, because I might make him read it on the air on Saturday. Yes, they have buffalo wings, Frosty, hot or mild, with celery, carrot sticks, and blue cheese dressing. Oh, Robbie's going to be very upset because they don't list their prices on the website.
Oh, I got him. What are he's worried about prices.
Robbie will be running out. Robbie will be hanging out with us in the bar and then running out to the Sabret cart on 8th Avenue. and it will be Marcy Braverman's birthday on Saturday.
Wow.
21 years old Marcy's going to be on Saturday. So if she shows up, I promised we'd sing her happy birthday. And yes, we're passing the hat for the gym's down payment fund. For those of you that didn't hear, you heard about my trials and tribulations last week about my car. I got the official word today. She's dead, Jim. It's
dead.
Total.
Nah.
Or as progressive refers to it, sir, it's going to be a total loss. It sounds about right for me. A total loss.
Wow, that's a harsh way of putting it.
So, yeah, car's totaled. So I told, and the worst part is that they give us a rental car, right? Not to get too far off tangent here, but they gave us a rental car the day I had the accident. And then the guy calls us today from Progressive, and he's got my wife and I on conference, and he goes, yeah, so the car's totaled, and we can let you have the rental car that you have for another 3 days. So my wife and I are both like, okay, so we have no car. we don't have the money to go buy another one, and you're telling us that the rental car, which replaced our perfectly good car until it got hit, now we're not going to have a car because you're only giving us this one for 3 days. So anyway,
wow.
They're gonna work on that. They're gonna stretch that out for us. And so I posted on Facebook today that I was going to pass the hat for the gym's down payment fund.
Wow. I mean, that's that's a tough. So you really we're gonna get a little pass the hat going for you, because I'm willing to contribute.
I told when I made it, I said between Frosty and Costa, I bet I could raise $8.
I think both of those guys are closet millionaires.
Maybe it'll be like The Sopranos. You know, whenever there's a big event and everybody comes with envelopes. You think anybody? I'll wear a suit jacket and people come stick envelopes in my jacket.
Oh,
just don't
good.
Give me your bar bills. I heard a rumor that nobody paid their bar bills at the Point and Still.
Oh yeah,
that's another story.
So I'm looking forward to it. I can't wait, guys. I'm telling you.
Yeah, I'm really excited.
I'm jazzed and I'm all. I wish Andrew SFL could come up from Florida and visit me. I see him in the chat room. Andrew has been here since the beginning. Big card collector. Why I decided to talk about Andrew, I have no idea. But still, it's going to be great. And, hopefully we'll get too crazy. But it didn't get too crazy. But I think this one, now that everybody kind of knows each other, for the most part, it's going to be a little bit more raucous.
Well, and the other thing is, this one's in New York City. And, I think we're going to have I really do think we're going to have a bigger crowd than we had last time. And this one's kind of, it's a Saturday, so nobody's, like, coming from work. Most people, I think a lot of people will be taking public transportation so that people don't have to worry about driving.
We advise you to take public transportation.
By all means.
Because it's going to be logjam.
And I think it's gonna get a little nutty on Saturday. I'm looking forward to it. It's people swinging for the chandeliers. John Newman taking his top off. Stacy dancing on the bar. It's gonna be silly.
Now the word has gone out about this. When I was at the Garden Friday night, there was a little bit of a commotion at the bottom of the elevator. And I looked out the elevator, and it's Dancing Larry, right? And he's like, he's like a minor celebrity over there. He's a big celebrity over there, Everybody wants to talk to Dancing Larry, whether they want to, I like Larry a lot. I've grown to like him, and he's a nice guy.
Yeah, Larry has grown on us. We were very harsh on Larry in the early days of this program. We were, but...
Yeah, and I can't say enough good things about him, and he's like... Hey, Mouse, how are you? He's Eddie. What's going on? This and that. I go, because I heard you having the thing down at Molly Wee's. He goes, I'm going to try to make it. I might be out of town, but I'm going to try to make it.
That's his bar.
That should be
his pictures on the website. Yeah.
Yeah. I got nothing bad to say about Larry. He treats me like Ranger royalty. I love that.
Yeah. Larry, you know what? Like I said, we were very harsh on Larry in the early days of this program, but he came on the air with you at the rally, which we had nothing to do with, and then he showed up at the Point and Still for our Hackensack party. So he's a supporter. He's an FOB, a friend of Bill. I mean, friend of the show.
Hello, Larry.
How are you?
Hello, Larry. That was the McLean Stevenson show. Larry.
All right, you ready to go back to the phones?
Yeah.
All right. I think this is Rock, 347-894.
Yes, gentlemen, how are we this evening?
Hey, Rock. Rock is going to be there on Saturday, right?
Yes, I will be there on Saturday.
Good.
I'm looking forward to it. I got to meet Eddie the other night at the Montreal game. It was a pleasure.
Yeah, did you miss my story about your friend, the Mush?
I actually missed the beginning of the show. So, yeah, I missed that. I'll have to go back and listen on the podcast. But
I was like, introduced me to a guy who was there when the Rangers blew the 5-2 lead in Montreal. I was like, I didn't really want to shake the guy's hand. No offense. He was a nice guy.
Let me answer the question in the chat room. Yes, there will be video, lots of video. I'm bringing my camcorder.
Very cool.
We'll be doing video.
I'll tell you, it was funny because Eddie, he wound up sitting next to us. So we had two empty seats next to us as the game progressed. And they started inching closer, so we were ready to boot him out of the section. But he's a good dude, and I felt bad for him for that trip, but it happens. But that was a rough year. The Rangers did it a few times, actually, that season. They blew not that big of a lead, but they blew leads in the past. So we hopefully turn that corner, and we won't see those kind of things for a while. I was at the game last night. I don't know if you guys touched on this. It was the boringest game I've witnessed live probably in my lifetime.
Yeah.
It was snoringly boring.
Well, you know what it was? I thought the Rangers played right into Florida's hands last night. I mean, you know, Florida wants to win these 1-0, 2-1 games. They just want to hang around and slow the pace down, slow everything down, and then, you know, strike when they had their opportunities. And the Rangers kind of fell for it, I thought. Vokoun was great, like he usually is against the Rangers.
Right.
But I thought for a while last night the Rangers kind of played into their hands and did exactly what the Panthers wanted them to do. The Panthers wouldn't give them very little to shoot at in front of the net. Everything was from the outside. It was just
right.
One icing after another and one offsides after. It was set hockey back 40 years.
Yeah, I finally figured out what it felt like to be a Devil fan because, you know, even winning like that game like that, I was very just extremely bored out of my mind watching that game. And I thought actually Florida had some better chances, and I think if they had some more offensive firepower, they might have won last night because there were a few times where they had the puck in the slot with, like, a wide-open net, and they blew it. So I guess you win these type of games when you're on a roll and playing well. You win games even when you're not playing well. You know, and like I said last week, I thought these next four games were crucial, and, you know, so far they've lived up to expectations when we said that they needed to win at least three games. I think now they got to beat Ottawa. I think they got to beat Ottawa. I think these other teams are kind of clicking at their heels. And I think if they can get themselves a little bit more of a winning streak going, they can put some distance between them and Carolina, especially Carolina, and hopefully not have to be so intense, you know, leading up to the playoffs. The thing that worries me a little bit now is that with Washington playing so well, if they draw that seventh seed, they may have to play Philly in the first round, which I think is the worst matchup for them. Of the eight teams that are seeded at this point, I think Philly is the one team they don't match up the best with. What do you guys think?
I think any team they have a goaltending advantage over,
mm-hmm.
Then I'm less concerned. I think they have a goaltending advantage against just about every team in the East.
Right.
Except maybe Boston.
Buffalo, well, the chances of them playing Buffalo are slim. Unless,
right.
But, yeah, I agree with that. The thing is that if they can keep putting up goals the way they've been scoring, and I don't know. I mean, I've been impressed a little bit. I'm shocked the amount of goals they've put up the last, with the exception, obviously, of last night, the amount of goals they've been putting up. And, and Eddie mentioned it the other night at the Montreal game, how well Anisimov's played. Because he's actually finally starting to hit the net, and I guess you're right. I guess that's a great point, Jimmy. If they can put up, you know, some goals and not have to, you know, scratch and claw just to get two goals a game, you know, maybe Philly wouldn't be such a bad matchup in the first round. I didn't really think about that. I kind of have this memory block or this block in my head that the Rangers can only score two goals a game.
Yeah.
So about playing Philly.
You know, the other thing is, I think the Rangers are kind of proven they can win just about any type of game you want them to win. You know, they can win 1-0, they can win 7-0, and you know, they can win a 5-3, 6-4 game. You know, if the goal scoring, you know, if Hank's not at his best or whatever,
right.
You know, they can. You know, they don't. This isn't like Tom Rennie's teams that had to beat you, or last year's team that had to beat you 2-1, or 3-2. This team can beat you a lot of different ways.
Yeah,
when it's all going well, and, you know, once you get to the, you know, we all know once you get to the playoffs, you got a hot goaltender, and you know he's I think Henrik is playing about as well as he has all year, at the right time, and he says he's rested, and he told the
the media today, he's never felt better at this time of year, this time of the season, than he does this year. You know, he's had the back injuries in the past and the knees.
Knee.
And
yeah.
One year he was suffering from headaches one year when they were getting close to the playoffs. So,
yeah.
You know, what all those things, you put them together, you know, he's healthy and he's playing, like I said, some of his best hockey right now. They're starting to click. Gabrick's coming around. It's all happening at the right time for them. Now they just got to keep it up.
And I'll tell you, that line of Callahan, Dubinsky, and Anisimov have played. I mean, they were the best line last night. I mean, they've just been on the last four games. The way that line has clicked. And I'll tell you, Dubinsky's, even though he hasn't been scoring, and I've been on him for not scoring, his board work and the way he's protected the puck along the boards, he's not getting knocked down. I think he's finally turned that corner where he's starting to finally he's not a kid anymore. He's starting to kind of maybe grow into his body, and the way he protected the puck, especially last night, I thought it was fantastic. I think that line, if that line can keep going the way it's going, I think the team, and again, they played last night without Mark Staal. You know, and I heard, Eddie, you, Gilroy makes me so nervous when he's out there. I mean, he almost forced the fuck off twice.
But he makes me
very nervous out there. And
that's what I said, too. You must have missed it. I said, when him and Barrett are out there, I'm scared to death. It's like Carper, not for McCabe. I said it again!
That part did hear.
When McCabe and Gilroy are out there, it's like I said before, it's like Olsenich and Carper are out there.
Oh,
you know,
God.
Like it scares me to death. He looks so uncomfortable out there, you know. So it's funny. It's funny. I'll never get this Brian Barrett mental block out of my head.
Well, they kind of do look alike.
Show,
they
Brian
were both Islanders. Yeah. Yeah, he's probably not doing anything. You might be able to get him on.
Now, I want to say during that Montreal game,
yeah,
I told the audience that I had gone up to see you, and me and you were kind of like, oh, this is a little uncomfortable here. We don't
yeah.
like 5-1 leads, right? So now I'm thinking, you know how I'm always thinking negatively, like, you know, it is a, you know, it's just inherent as a Ranger fan that you're looking for some kind of, now I'm thinking they're peaking too early. They're winning too many now. They should have saved it for the end. But they still got to get in the playoffs. And I started to talk myself out of it, you know. And I also think just this following trends and the way sports goes, the way hockey goes, with your Philly analogy, I could see Philly going out in the first round after they had that Cinderella season last season. Like, I could see that storyline, you know, that perhaps, you know, oh, the Flyers are out in the first round after that great run. And I agree with Jim. Without the goaltending, I'm sorry. I just did not feel that their goaltending is that good. And I know they're loaded up front. They haven't been playing all that well. I mean, without
Pronger.
Prong
is banged up, too.
Right.
You're right.
But
you're
I know what
right.
you're saying.
I've kind of changed my mind. You guys kind of talked me out of it now. Now you've now that I've been thinking about it, you may be right, but you know, we'll see. We'll definitely see. I mean,
you know,
it's a tough situation.
And I really think the Rangers they can play a physical game. They could wear you down if they want. They came out very physical the first 30 games of the season. And I know you can't really keep that up throughout the whole season, but I think the Rangers really, if they want to turn up their hitting, they can turn it up with guys like Prust, Callahan, and you got, you know, if Boyle starts to hit, I think, plus the defenseman, you know, Michael Sauer is just, he's quickly become one of my favorite players. I mean, there's nothing I don't like about the guy. And so it'll be interesting. I just want to make the playoffs, and again, just want to be at the party. Want to be talking playoff hockey while we're in it.
I think the team needs to make the playoffs this year. I think these young players should get a nice. I don't. I obviously, guys, get on my case because M. Leach always gets on my case because I said either the team is either going to win the cup or it's not making the playoffs. So I'm one of those Rangers fans that kind of fly off the handle sometimes because I let my emotions get the best of me. But
as a Ranger fan, we're always there's always one shoe in the air, and we're always waiting for it to drop.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And I think if this team needs to make the playoffs this year, I think the young guys need to get a taste of what it's like to play a playoff series. And I think next year, if they can add the right pieces, and I'm not writing them off for the season, but just looking ahead, if they can add the right pieces, maybe so a little bit more experience, a little more offense up front, I think the team can do well. I mean, they have a lot of grit and a lot of gutsy guys, and I think in the future, this team could definitely do some damage. And they have a good makeup. I've been really impressed with the way they played the last five games. I guess you can attribute it to just guys getting healthy. I think everyone's kind of getting to that point together at this point. And like you said, Jim, I agree with you. I'd rather have Christensen than Chris Newbery in the lineup. I agree with you 100% about that. Wolski, I agree with you 100% about him. I will never bash that guy. My buddy that sit next to me to the games. I said Wolski could not score another goal the rest of the season. As long as having Roseville not on this team, it's addition by subtraction. So to me, it doesn't matter. So Wolski's done more for this team this season than Roseville's done the last three seasons. So I'm all for that, but. I think the team needs to make the playoffs, and I think for this group of guys to get in there and to kind of get a taste of a playoff experience, I think would be a good building block to the foundation that they've already established. So I think I agree with you. They need to make it into the playoffs. Eddie, just a quick side note. Did you know Gratchev is a plus 18? Were you aware of that?
I'm aware of that.
Were you also aware?
It doesn't mean anything. They're talking about the Flyers in the chat room, and Marcy said, "I'll give credit to where it's due," and Mario says they could cure cancer, and I'd still hate them.
Oh, that's great.
But anyway, sorry to interrupt. But
are you being sarcastic with that comment?
I like Gratchev. No, not at all.
Okay.
I like Gratchev. I don't agree with Mitch. I don't agree with Mitch about Gratchev. Everyone, he's thought every guy in the Rangers farm system was going to make the Rangers or make the NHL except for Gratchev. I saw Gratchev 2 years ago when he was one of the last cuts to be made. He scored a fantastic goal in preseason a couple of years ago.
I remember.
He shows glimpses. He may be that Kevin Stevens type of player that needs to play with somebody who can get him the puck. He's not the type of guy. He's like John. I'm not comparing him to LeClaire. It's not fair. But those type of players, those big-bodied players, need to play with guys that can get him the puck and can pass him the puck. He may not be able to play with guys that aren't able to do that.
See, I agree. See, I haven't. I've never watched an AHL game with Gratchev in. I admit that. I watched 8 games while he was up here, and I watched those preseason games that you watched. And to me, and this is this is the last of Gratchev I'll mention, so after the blue shirt banner viewing party. But I think Russian players take a little bit longer to develop. Mm-hmm. Again, this guy came out a year early. I think it takes and every time he played with good players, he looked like he was a pro. And every time he gets sent down, I know he didn't get any shots on goal in his 8 games up here, but he went up and down his wing. He didn't look lazy. He didn't look embarrassing. If Tortorella thought he was a bum, he would have just sent him down after a game. So I trust John Tortorella's judgment. I trust my judgment. I trust your judgment over bitch Ben.
And also, Valentenko is a plus.
I want him up. Why isn't he up instead of Gilroy?
Matt Gilroy.
There was a great article about him about Jimmy, your boy Talbot was giving him props about about him being like a third goalie out there. I don't know where the second goalie came from, but being a third goalie out there because he blocked shots. He's big on blocking shots. And I'll tell you, I mean, I'll tell you, if this guy can figure out a way, if they can get this guy up here next year, if I'm Bob Gainey, I'm finding the closest bridge and I'm jumping off, because the amount of prospects he gave up and good players he gave up for Scott Gomez, I mean, you know, I every time I think of that trade, I smile. I mean, Staza corrected so many of his bad mistakes with that one trade alone, and that one trade turned the corner of Rangers hockey, in my opinion. That trade itself opened so many other doors for this team that, you know.
Pencil in. Valentenko will make the squad next year. and you know, no, I'm serious. I'm serious. I think he's going to play. And even though we hated to see Brian Leetch go, Michael Sauer is a derivative from that trade. So even though it killed me, and I know a lot of Ranger fans who stopped being Ranger fans once he was traded, they were that upset over it. But at least something was salvaged out of that trade as well. Us eventually getting
we got Maxim Kondratiev, which turned into Peter Sikora. You didn't like that one?
That one I wasn't.
Or Korbikoski that turned into Enverleason. You didn't like that one?
Well, Pino's got 18 goals over there in Phoenix.
Is he really? Oh my God! And PA Parato has 18 goals.
Ah,
you see,
I know.
You could have kept Korbikoski, put him on a line with Parato. Then I don't know who else you stick
line
on the other. Yeah.
Manny
Malholtra
down the middle, or Michael Samuelson. I think Michael Samuelson has 18 goals also.
Yeah. He's about 75.
Malhotra is out for the rest of the year, huh?
Yeah. Didn't somebody? Oh, I heard Jody Shelley is out. His orbital bone is broke.
Yeah.
It is. He's out like forever.
Yeah, that's a huge loss to Philly. I'm sure they're crying over that one.
I don't know.
But the Matt Cook point, not to get off on a tangent, but I said the same thing. I couldn't believe Matt Cook had an assistant captain. You mean of all the guys on that team, he couldn't give the assistant captain to anybody else? Max Talbot couldn't have been assistant captain. Even Pascal Dupuis, they had to give it to Matt Cook.
Yeah.
You know, now Lemieux of all people, you know, has more egg on his face than I mean, if I'm Lemieux, I wouldn't say another word for a long time. He shouldn't even make another comment, because to me that's just embarrassing what he did. So, I don't know.
I think things are looking good for the Rangers.
All right, Rock.
Yes.
All right, gentlemen.
We're going to let you
I'll
go.
I'll see you guys
care.
Sunday.
Calls in.
Saturday, I'm sorry. I'll see you guys Saturday, all right?
All right, we'll see you then,
okay,
buddy.
You got it.
Take care, Matt.
Later.
Bye. Saturday at the Molly Wee. Ask Robbie for the specials. 609-204, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Man, the phone lines are jammed. We've got an hour, half hour to go. We'll get you guys in. 609-204, you're on Blue Shirt Banner Radio. Who's this?
Gentlemen, it's the captain. How are you?
What's going on, captain? How are you?
pretty good. I'll try to get to my points. Mine as well. How about you?
We're doing good. Are you going to be at the viewing party on Saturday?
I will not. I'm in South Jersey. I can't make it up on Saturday.
What? You can't make it? They have trains there. My son's coming up from South Jersey. Why can't you be there?
Because I'm leaving for St. Louis on Sunday. My fiance will yell at me.
Oh.
I know.
I'm going to blow you up just for that. My fiance will be mad at me. My fiance will be mad at me. You give it. I'll tell you the same thing I told Nick the other day. Nick Tertilli, the great Phoenix Ranger who was going to come to my house. He sent me a message on Saturday. He says, Jim, I don't know if I can make it tomorrow. He says, we just closed on a house and my fiance's got me doing a lot of stuff. I said, Nick, you give in to her now. She will own you for your entire marriage. And you know what? He was sitting on my couch Sunday morning when that game started, my friend. I'm telling you. You give in now and it's a life of servitude, my friend. Next thing you know, the Rangers are in the finals, and you're out picking out curtains.
Oh, no. She actually likes going to games, and she watches every single one. Do you know she actually, looking at pictures of players' faces, named like 80% of the team?
Oh, very nice.
So she did, and anyone she didn't know, she just said Ryan McDonough because she has no idea what he looks like. That was her best guess. I went to the game last night. I met Zach at the NHL store. He does exist. He said he was going to call in. He had some news, actually. I didn't want to steal his thunder. And I got a picture with Matto. I'm still one of the 1994 children. Matt Cook, I don't think that the punishment should be based on what happens to the player. I think that if you elbow a guy in the head, you should get the penalty for elbowing a guy in the head. I don't think if the guy misses 10 games or plays the next day, it should matter what your penalty is, and I thought that the punishment was fine. What Chara did to me was a hockey play. I mean, yeah, it's a shame the kid got hurt, but, that's a hockey play. He's checking someone. Putting your elbow out as you're, skating by somebody, that's not a hockey play, in my opinion. I don't know how you guys feel.
I agree. I thought the punishment fit the crime. I thought it was fair.
Okay.
Eddie, you still there?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm reading the chat room. There's a guy from the Blue Shirt Banner, VR6 Vroom. You recognize that name?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Well, he says he jumps in the game for this. I was just welcoming and doing the whole thing. And,
oh, okay.
Yeah, I agree with what he said. And I did actually hear what he said. Matt Cook deserved what he got, and maybe a little bit more. I think there are very, other than Ron Gresham, I think everybody's pretty much agreement with this.
Yeah, I mean, even when I saw the play, I mean, I think that Char should have gotten suspended. I thought it was a hockey play. I don't think he went out of his way to try the turnbuckle, whoever we're calling it these days. Back to our team specifically, I don't think that there's any team in the conference that I fear at this point. I really don't. And I'm trying to not, drink the Kool-Aid here. I mean, they've been playing well. But the one thing they have right now that they haven't had, they didn't have last year, at least not in my opinion, is they put a question in their team's head, who do you play your top pairing against? Do you play them against Gabbert or do you play them against Callahan, Anisimov, and Dubinsky? And it's a big question. And a team like the Flyers, their top defenseman on the wrong side of third base, I think a line like Callahan, Samava, Dubinsky caused problems for a pairing like that, the two they play together. I don't think there's a team in the conference that the Rangers came with. We're talking about the Flyers in the room. They're a massive fraud. I live in South Jersey. They're very nervous. I talk to Flyers fans all the time. I have no choice, unfortunately. And I'm telling you that they are very, very nervous.
I think, the problem is, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer here, but a week ago, a week and a half ago, we were so frustrated with this team. And a week later, now we're saying they can score, they can do this. And I'm a little worried about that. Although the work ethic is very consistent, the goal scoring hasn't. Now, granted, I agree with Jim. When it comes to goaltending, Hank, usually, most likely in every scenario that's going to come up, probably in every scenario that's going to come up. And you feel that you've heard the Flyer. What are the Flyer fans concerned about?
Well, they look at their goaltending, and now it's finally coming apart. I talk to them all the time. The games are different now than they are in October and November. You can play a rookie goalie early in the season and have some success, but they're just different games now, and they don't have a number one. Depending who you talk to, some of them think it's Bobrovsky, some of them think it's Boucher, whatever. But if you have two goalies, you have no goalies, just like having a quarterback.
Right.
They don't know. They can't count on the goalie. They can't. And as offensively talented as they are, they don't strike me as a very – I mean, despite what they did last year against the Bruins, they don't strike me – I'm going to just keep going.
Go.
They don't strike me as a very mentally tough team because a lot of their goals are very – they're showy goals. They're not a hard-working team. They're not like the Rangers at all. Somebody said that the Rangers and Flyers are similar teams. I don't see that whatsoever. The Rangers will outwork anybody. I don't think the Flyers, like, the Briere's of the world are going to go in there and outwork anybody.
Is well, you got Jeff Carter, you've got Mike Richards.
Yeah, but they're flashy guys. The kind of guys like a Frost. You don't have the kind of guy that's going to go into the corner and fight. I mean, Jody Shelley? I don't think so.
Oh,
they're worried.
Dan Carcillo?
Yeah. They're really worried about. They're worried about Pronger's contract now. They're seeing Barry and Hatcher part two with that guy. He's really regressed from last season.
Yeah, well, last year had a great season, and you know, when he was signed, I said they were paying him, 2002 money for a 2009, Chris Pronger. They may be regretting that contract. You're right.
Well, it's half locked, and I think they're finally figuring that out, that whether he, you know, lives or dies or gets abducted by aliens, they're paying him $5 million a year against the cap until he's 43. So.
I love this music.
Jimmy's having a good time, I can tell.
He goes, I'm such a child in the chat.
I know, I read it. When do you think that Lundqvist gets a break? I don't think he gets the rest until they clinch.
I'm going to say once it's clinched and everything is set in stone, you may see Henrik in.
Yeah, I think you're right. I thought maybe he might take a rest once they lose a game, but then if they lose a game, they need to win the next one. So.
I agree. I think you're going to see Henrik maybe get spelled when it's all said and done. Uh-huh. And if they do make the playoffs, I don't fear anybody like saying, oh, my God, we're playing this team. Uh-huh. But I just want to see them get some experience, the younger players get some playoff experience and some maturity. And get just a taste, like Rock said, of what it's like to play really meaningful hockey.
Uh-huh.
And that's what it's all about.
Yeah, we'll see. All right. I'll let you guys go, and they got a lot more callers.
All right, Captain.
Okay.
Thanks, buddy. Sorry we're going to miss you on Saturday. I really am.
Yeah, the next one, though, I'm all in.
All right. All right, we'll catch you later.
See ya.
Bye.
I think you deflated the captain with that saber dance stuff.
Last time he called in, he's like, where's my music?
I don't know. You might have been a little rude.
Okay, Marcy.
Oh, that's what she said?
Yeah, you're being rude.
Oh, well, I don't agree.
You got to be here
already.
Every week. You got to be here every week to get the inside jokes. Last time he was on, he asked, he said, where's my music?
Okay, all right, then I apologize. My apologies, Sam.
But do I want to go? You're on the air, Margaret.
Hello.
Screaming at the TV. Come on now.
Did you just hear me say that?
Yes. Come on, Milago!
Oh, no, it was worse than that. All right, listen, you guys. Enough of this BS about Pacioretty and Chara, and I don't give a crap about Matt Cook. Enough already. Let's get down to brass tacks here. The boys have 8 games left to go. 5 of those games are against lower-ranking opponents, and 3 of those games are against guys on top of us. Here's my deal. Ottawa, they should win. The Bruins, let's hope the Bruins are resting people. The Sabres and the Islanders, they will lose to the Sabres. The Islanders, stupid crap, always happens in that hellhole, and I don't know. They got a 50-50 chance. Flyers, if they're resting people, okay. If not, we had their number a couple of games, maybe we get it. They need 13 points. It's going to be a close one.
Really? You think it's going to be that close?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, I mean, think about it. 5 teams below us, especially, you got the Sabres, you got the Islanders, you got the Devils. They hate us. They'll do anything to beat us. But can they? That's the question, Jim. Can they? And you know what? Again, we got an all-world goaltender here. The defense has been really good. But let me tell you something. Florida walked in there last night. And somebody down there is scouting the range is damn good because they knew that they lately, you know, game to game, they either suck on faceoffs or they're good on faceoffs. So what happens last night? Florida's icing the puck like I'm icing cupcakes. Okay? And come on. You know, you can do that.
I'm laughing at the joke.
No, but I know, but you can do that if you know that the team that you're playing against is going to lose every goddamn faceoff.
Yeah, but then you're stuck with a tired defensive unit out there. I don't know. I know
what you're saying, but the thing is, Phil Esposito always said, don't ice the puck. You keep icing the puck, you're going to pay, because somebody is going to get that one timer from the top of the circle, and it's going to be in the back of the net. So the fewer icings you commit, the better off you're going to be. Keep the puck out of your end on faceoff.
Well, Margaret, you are always – I value your opinion, and you were very outspoken and controversial. As a matter of fact, Jim, I saw Margaret outside the Garden after the game as I was wandering Penn Station. This is when I was still up top. And she didn't like the Prust fight at the beginning of the game, which I thought was kind of a – she didn't like it because it was orchestrated. I thought it kind of set a tone. Where are you on this, Jim, as far as me and Margaret's debate goes?
Rangers won the game. I'm okay with it.
See, so diplomatic.
I'm sorry.
Keep going. No, go ahead.
I just have one quick story to tell you. I usually skate on Wednesday night at Dix Hills, and I just hope that Dennis Potvin isn't over there waiting for me to take up my challenge. Because that, excuse the expression, asshat, turned around last week over the Pacioretty and Chara incident and said that, oh, people are getting their knickers in and out, all these skirts around the NHL that blog and stuff like that. And, of course, I took that to mean a diss against female bloggers calling skirts on the NHL morning show. So on my little blog, I called Dennis out. I called him an asshat, among other things. And I told him, you know, hey, Dennis, anytime you're on Long Island, usually I'm at Dix Hills Park on Wednesday night, come over, we'll see who's a skirt.
Whoa!
So,
We'll see who's
the skirt. I mean, Jesus, you lost your job, in your broadcasting job in Florida. What the hell are you doing now, Dennis, you know? My favorite picture of all time is Dennis Potvin against the boards in a fetal position crying after the Rangers eliminated them in 79. That's my favorite picture.
That's
I'm ranting.
Eddie getting his picture at the Hall of Fame to finger.
Well, okay. Yeah. All right. So he's in the Hall of Fame. All right. So Sidney Crosby will be too. And then another thing, these guys on the XM channel, they have this incredible – I can't say the word. It's not a nice thing to say. Let Newman say it. They have this incredible, Crosby. Crosby hasn't been in. He's still 14th or 16th in the rankings. And then they're talking about the Vezina Trophy. And, you know, I'm watching Jimmy Howard right now acting like a sieve against Luongo. But Jimmy Howard's in Vezina contention and not a word about Lundqvist. 10 shutouts, leads the league. Second 10 shutout season he's had in his career, and he's getting no love from these people. Screw them. Who cares? They deserve what they get.
Yeah, well, they all hate New York, you know, and it's all about.
And then the other thing, too, is that these morons in the morning, they go on and they talk about people who are conspiracy theorists, and, you know, I'm up on the grassy knoll with everybody else. And I'm just thinking to myself last night, I'm watching The Mustache, and, you know, he's swallowed the whistle. I think. Well, maybe, you know, since it's his last season in the NHL, he's going to decide to call a fair game for the Rangers, you know? Anyway, I got a lot of beefs.
Blue Seed said, he said, watch out, Margaret. We know Potvin isn't afraid to hit a woman.
Beat your wife, Potvin, beat your wife. That's true, but, you know, he's about the same age as I am. I give myself a better chance. I could probably take him into the boards. He wants to see across the numbers hit. Just give me a stick. He's a dope. Anyway, long story short, I like Zuccarello, Ed. I don't know what your beef is with the kid. I think he's good.
He doesn't score goals.
He's good though. He mixes it up. He's good. He's like a Mark Pavlich. Doesn't score that many goals, but I like him. He reminds me of Pavlich a lot. And the other thing is, you know, I think Gabrick can exert a little extra effort. Like last night I was watching him on the boards, and he was just like so soft, not protecting the puck, just like cruising around. I don't know, is he hurt? I don't know what the hell his story is. And Eric Christensen, same thing. He runs so hot and cold. He was abysmal on faceoffs. He and Dubinsky. The Rangers were won only 39% of the faceoffs last night. And I don't know. Faceoffs are key for me. They just are. If you're in
no,
your
they
zone,
are. They're very important.
You want
They're
to win
very
the faceoff.
Important.
If you're on the power play and you're in the ozone, you want to win the faceoff. That's all there is to it. You know, that's a simple thing. Got to watch
yep.
the simple things.
And in the playoffs, they become even more crucial.
Absolutely.
You know, every face-off is – you cannot be dominated in face-offs. Winning teams win face-offs. That's the way it goes.
And I'm on my one-woman crusade to get Prost the Stephen McDonald Extra Effort Award. But it's so hard this year because there's so many guys – I mean, Callahan notwithstanding – there's so many guys that have been so crucial, and I like Prust because he brings a lot of different things. But let me tell you something. Jim hit the nail on the head with Sauer. Sauer is a joy to watch. The guy's mean. I like mean. Mean is good.
Oh, mean is very good.
Mean is very good.
I mean, after, you know, in a scrum, face wash somebody, that's exactly what I want to see. That's exactly what I want. I don't want to see them walk away, you know, like doo-dee-doo-dee-doo. Sauer always goes in there to try to get the extra little punch in or something. That's my kind of boy.
Yeah, and last night they snowed the goalie, and then you saw what happened. He took care of business.
Oh,
pay the price.
I got to tell you, at the game on Friday night, I have to tell you, I was up and listen, Ed, people upstairs,
yep.
they're good people. Don't you diss my brothers up in 409, 410, you know, up by Larry. We're good people up there. We're crazy, but
we're
good.
Why did they not diss them?
Don't diss them. You said you go upstairs.
I love being up there.
All right.
My tickets were originally up there, but I moved down to 300s because
you don't
want to
be
Canadian.
You don't want to see you don't want to see me standing up and screaming bad words at the Montreal Canadiens. You don't want to see that. I was yelling.
No,
at the,
I want to see that.
Well, people in my section know I'm like certifiable anyway. But I was so pissed. You know, if I were Tortorella and they ran, you know, when they ran Lundqvist, I would have turned around to one of the guys and I said, go down there and run off. What, are you crazy? That's bullshit.
Yeah, no, I
turned around to one of the Montreal fans and I said, you're goddamn lucky that one of the Rangers doesn't go over there and two-hand carry, I'm the greatest goaltender on the face of the earth, Price. Because I would have done it.
Well, no, and you, if this has happened 2 years in a row with Henrik, you'd think they would, you know, send somebody out there.
Well, if
I
was Henrik,
you know,
I'd turn the butt end of the stick around and I'd take a headshot, and I don't mean the one on the neck.
Well, he did do that. Remember?
Yeah.
I guess a month ago, he took matters in his own hands, and he needs to do that a little bit more, frankly. Then
he
people
did.
Won't
Go
be
for the
running.
Jewels. What do you care?
I don't care as long as they're not mine.
Exactly.
All right, Margaret.
Listen, you guys, let's hope for the best. And listen, I will try to get there on Saturday, but right now I have an 18-and-a-half-year-old dog that's on its way out. So if the dog and I part company between now and Saturday, I'm going to be at the doggy funeral service.
Okay, well, sorry
to hear that.
I will try to be there. It's 11 o'clock in the morning, though. It's so freaking early. Jeez,
you don't have to get there at 11. Get there at 12.
All right. Hopefully I'll see
you. See you and Pat Quinn.
Yep.
Okay.
No, he's not coming. You mean Brian Burke.
Brian Burke,
no,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, all right, listen,
Brian
take care, guys.
Much better looking. All right, take care.
Thanks, Margaret.
Bye.
Bye. All right, 6 minutes to go. Again, we'll see you guys Saturday at 11 o'clock in the morning at the Molly Wee. Ask Robbie about the specials. Zach, what's going on?
You can hear me?
Hello?
Hey, can you hear me?
Barely. What's going on?
Hey, sorry. I'm in the middle of driving right now, and the weather, it's snowing in spring. What is going on with this?
So it's snowing, you're driving, and you're on the phone with us.
And, it's clearing up now.
This is all perfectly safe.
Hey, at least I'm sober.
Oh,
so I saw a captain at the store yesterday. And
uh-huh.
I called it tonight, and right as I got into the booth and you guys, he said, "Hey, I saw Zach at the store." But when he came in, he came up to me and says, "There was I don't know if he works here anymore, but there was a Zach that was working here. Do you know who he is?" I was like, "Yeah, I'm the Zach that works here."
you give Captain a discount?
I'm no longer there, so stop spreading rumors. I'm always there.
Did you give him a discount?
He didn't buy anything. He was there with his fiance. They were looking around. They were trying out a couple of things, but they didn't buy anything.
They didn't buy anything? They were just kicking tires, huh?
Yeah. Got upset,
it's
but oh well.
It's not the most reasonable store. We
run out of Ranger stuff quick.
How about those Carcillo shirts? Are they still selling like hotcakes? Or whatever.
We got rid of those. No, we're no longer selling those. It was a clerical error.
Check
this out. Last Saturday there was a lady at the store. She's going to be at the viewing party this Saturday. Her name is Alyssa Jacobs. She doesn't listen to the show, but she reads the blog all the time, so she'll be at the viewing party Saturday. She told me she's friends with Jim Kearney through Twitter, and he told her that it is most likely, we're not sure, but it's most likely Chris Drury will announce his retirement after the season. His knee is too messed up. Doesn't think it will heal properly, or at least it won't be strong enough for him to play another season. But Chris Drury, ladies and gentlemen, is out.
Wait a minute. Now,
he told her this on Twitter?
Yeah.
Or on his laptop tell her this? Or did
what?
He talk to her? Because
she told me she was speaking to him on Twitter. I think they met in person. I don't know. She'll be interviewing party Saturday, so you'll ask her.
He must have been trying to get a date with her or something. Figured he'd give her a little inside information.
Maybe.
What?
She also told me that the Rangers are going to be starting the season in Europe again. And when they come back to when they come back to the States, they'll start out in California because MSG is still going to be under renovation.
The Russia thing is off. They announced it today. They couldn't make a deal.
Really?
Russia has said niet to the Rangers.
Oh, damn Ruskies. Who? Do you have any idea who we were supposed to play when in Russia?
Washington.
Moscow Dynamo.
So Ovechkin versus Fedotenko.
The Red Army.
No, wait. Fedotenko's Czech Republic. Frolov. But he's not going to be on the team next year.
Now, Jim Cerny. Not Kearney, by the way.
Yeah, not Kearney.
Kearney, yeah, sorry.
No, I know. Listen, I don't like Jim Cerny. You know why?
Why not?
Because he talks from his laptop. Whatever his laptop tells him to say, he says it. That's where all his
laptop?
Information is. No, I don't talk to my laptop. But anyway, I'm glad he's coming and it'll be fun. And if it's true about Drury retiring, woo-hoo!
She also said that they're going to take the C away from Drury no matter what. So Callahan will be, we all assume that Callahan will be the next captain, but it'll be announced next season.
Well, if he retires, they're not going to retire the captaincy with him.
We all thought Messier was going to do that.
Eric Christensen.
From now on, the Rangers will no longer have captains. They'll have poobahs. You'll wear a P on your sweater. Ryan Callahan will be the first poobah of the Rangers.
Jim, are you going to be on the center ice to give it to him?
I should rip that thing off of him. Send him. Kick him in the ass.
Next year's first viewing party is going to be at Chris Drury's pizza place.
Pizza place. I'm driving up to Boston this weekend. I'm debating whether to stop at his pizza place on the way up or on the way down. Either way, I'm going to have his pizza.
Oh, man. I love Jim Cerny.
I want to try it. I want to see if it's good or not.
It may be very good. I mean, really, you got to screw up pizza. You got to really be terrible.
You know what they say about pizza? Pizza's like sex. Even when it's bad, it's still pretty good.
when they had the video clip during one of the pregame shows, Drury was saying that he recommends putting extra oil or olive oil, so I'm going to try that.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I don't get food poisoning.
Oh,
you guys crack me up.
Zach, I am very sorry we are not going to see you on Saturday.
Sorry, I know. I'm going to miss you guys, but I will call in.
Well, go.
You're going to start the show at 11:30, right?
Yeah, the show starts at 11:30.
All right, I'm going to call in at like 12 o'clock.
Okay.
Okay.
So make sure all the knuckleheads are surrounding your table so that way they can hear me speak.
Well, what I'm going to do is, real quick, good night, we're almost done. Good night, everybody. We'll see you guys Saturday morning. What I'm going to do is I have a BlackBerry, and I'm going to bring a pair of computer speakers with me, and I'm going to hook my computer speakers up to my BlackBerry, and what I'll do is I'll call into the show from my BlackBerry, and then we'll put the show on the speakers so that people can actually listen to the show.
Yeah, because we wanted to listen to it last year, especially when Robbie called in, and it didn't quite work out. So Newman and I had to call in, and even then we couldn't hear on our phones.
Yeah, I know. We didn't really think that would be as big of a problem as it turned out to be. So this is really the only solution I can come up with for it. So that's what we'll do. I'll bring my computer speakers, hook up my BlackBerry, and that's it. You guys can, whoever's there can kind of hang out by the speakers. I mean, they're pretty loud, so people will be able to hear as long as they're not making too much noise. We'll just have to put the speakers like in the complete opposite end of where Eddie and I are. Otherwise, there'll be total feedback and echo.
That's
going
to hurt. Yeah, you'll figure it out. You got plenty of time to test out the area.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
I have a quick question. It's fine if you say no. But when I call in, is it okay if I have a buddy of mine speak on the phone? He is a Bruins fan, but he's not an asshole.
That's impossible.
It's impossible.
You can't be one without the other, can you?
I mean, if you guys want to do it, then that's fine. Otherwise, he'll be more than willing to talk on the phone.
Yeah, if he wants to get on the phone and talk, that's fine. But he better have something good to say.
Yeah, I'll make sure he's got something good to say.
Because if not, we'll blow him up.
that you want to blow me up as well.
Oh, that's true.
Okay, sera, sera.
I also posted a link on Facebook. NHL posted an article about Henrik Lundqvist being considered for a Vezina nod.
Why shouldn't he be?
He's got a good case. He has a good case. I want to see him win the Vezina. I don't think he will this year, but he definitely has a case to be one of the three finalists. Now, of course, like with a few years ago when it was him, Nabokov, and Brodeur, he only got one first-place vote, and, of course, it was Sather that voted for him.
I didn't know that. All right, Zach, I think you're right. I think he's going to be a finalist, but I don't think he's going to get it.
Uh-oh. Yeah.
Yeah, well, and he deserves to be at least a finalist.
Yeah, he deserves to get consideration of wearing a fancy do tuxedo in Las Vegas just to hear his name called for a nomination and not win it.
Yeah. Well, maybe I can get the NHL to credential me for that, and I can go up to Vegas and I'll get a big interview with him and then, you know, post it on Blue Shirt Banner and the Rangers can have a heart attack.
If I give you $100, put it on 35 for me.
They won't even let you get close to that guy. Are you kidding me?
I don't even know. You know, I don't know if these. Well, hey, look, if you know, it's backstage at these awards or whatever.
I don't even know
if Rangers PR attends those.
It's more an NHL event. Yeah, it's more of an NHL event, so you got a shot.
Yeah.
Are you going to try to go to the draft party again?
You mean the actual draft?
Oh, the draft. No, I went to the party, but are you going to try to go to the draft again?
Yeah, I'm going to apply.
Well, I'm just asking.
No, I'm going to apply for the draft, yeah.
Try
and go. But, you know, the Rangers are trying to keep me out of there, so we'll see.
Yeah, we got mentioned in the New York Times.
Yeah. Yep. If the NHL will credential me, I will be there.
Awesome.
And if not,
all right,
and if not, just gives me another reason to bitch.
Traffic is now being a pain in the ass. I'll call in Saturday. Jim, have a safe flight. And guys, have a lot of fun. Make sure Robbie doesn't get drunk.
Okay.
All right.
Take care.
Thanks, Zach.
All right. Have a good night, guys.
All right. Later.
Bye.
Well, Jim, we
We've come to the end of another program.
Started out laughing. Now it's just me and you.
See, we're still laughing.
No.
He's just laughing. So that's it.
That's
what
all
time
she
do you
wrote.
Think you coming in Friday?
I'm assuming late morning. Should be. I should. And is Ronkonkoma the best place for me to take the train to? Is that most convenient for you?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so, I'm thinking probably late morning or you know around lunch, sometime around lunchtime. I actually found. I'm gonna get a megaphone. I can get one right in the city. I just got to. Who is it? J&R Music World sells them. So I'm gonna go over to the city and I'll pick one up there. And then I'll go up and catch the Long Island Railroad.
Okay.
All right.
Sounds
this way
good.
We don't have to go hunting for it, and we can just do whatever on Friday.
Sounds good.
All righty, sir. I will
right,
see
take
you
care.
Friday morning.
Okay, brother man.
All right. Have a good night.
Take care.